White Sox coming to bat in the last half of the fourth. First White Sox hitter will be Tony Pyatt at third base, and he already waits there back of the plate as Moss warms up road, waiting for Hayes, who is again on base to end the inning, get into the catching box, get out there to go to work. Throws the ball out there to second base. And it comes back to pitcher as Pyatt walks up there to the plate. Pyatt is back. The White Sox start the last half of the fourth inning. Rhodes smoothing the dirt down. In front of the mound, walks back, smooths it down in front of the slab. Turns around, gets his sign. He's winding up. And he pitches, and the hitter grounded the ball, but it's foul on the ground, back to stand, and it's strike one. One strike to count. One strike, but it throws again, and it's a ball inside across the waist. So it's one ball and one strike on Pyatt. One and one. Here comes ball two, a curveball outside, and it's two balls and one strike on fire. 1-1. Winding up once more, throws. Fire swings in a bounder down to the shortstop, who comes over fast, gets it, throws the first, and Dean had to make a reaching catch way out to the left and high, but he made the play nicely for the first out in the fourth inning. One out in the fourth inning for the Sox. And Luke Sewell, White Sox catcher, is up there at the plate. Sewell at bat. Hitter swings and it's a line drive right out to the shortstop, who manages to scoop it up off the top of the dirt just before it hits the ground. And it's two out in the fourth inning. Two out in the fourth inning for the White Sox, and Kennedy's at bat. Out in the fourth inning. Kennedy up there. Starts to wind up. Rolls, and the hitter swings, hit the ball back. It hit Rolls right on the foot. Bounce clear out into right field. Kennedy's around first base, carrying to second base, and Rhodes is still writhing around on the ground there. The ball is recaptured by the second baseman. Rhodes gets up and is limping around in the infield. Time is called. That was a line smash that either hit his foot or his shin, and it felled him like a blow from a club. He reaches down and rubs his ankle, and the ankle and the shin bone just above the foot. Now Kennedy gets his jacket on, goes over to see him, and it goes the two-base hit, of course. For Kennedy, and Byrne is over there seeing how this fellow is, because it really was an awful dirty crack. Start a pitcher warming up in the bullpen in a hurry in case Dusty can't go on. The crowd gives him a hand. Boy, he took a smash that time. Mama, I don't want that to hit me. Woo. My foot had gone right off with it. Right? The foot would have gone into center field and the ball into right, I think. Yeah, mine aches just from watching it. No kidding. Boy, he took a dirty crack that time. Rhodes is throwing a couple down there to make sure he's all right and able to continue. Besides, he can pitch all right, but boy, he's going to have a great big black and blue mark and a big lump on that leg. I'll be coming up right now. He takes a look at it for a minute. Now faces Rip Ratcliffe. Ratcliffe at bat. Two out in the fourth inning. Coach stands there rubbing up the ball, getting ready to pitch the first one to the Ripper. Let's look back at second base. And throws, and Radcliffe takes a good strike over the heart of the plate just above the knee. One strike on Radcliffe. Ready out there again, throws, and Rip hits the ball of beauty down the right field line for another base hit. Kennedy's around third base, tearing for the plate, and the ball goes to second. Boy, that fella can really run. Coming across the plate, he kicks Radcliffe's bat over and then comes back to pick it up. He's a happy-go-lucky rat. He just was having fun coming around there. And that drive to right field, a single, line single to right by Radcliffe, scores Kennedy, and again the White Sox are in front. This time the score is 3-2. Throws the first one, and Krivitz takes a ball over the plate, but too low. One ball called. And a pitcher waits there again, gets his time. The first base and throws. And Mike hits the ball to right field. Right fielder coming in fast. The ball drops in front of him for another base hit. Radcliffe is starting for third base. And he slides in just under the... No, they got him at third. Radcliffe, for some reason, slowed up at second. And then when he broke into his stride again, he'd lost just enough time to be caught at third base. Krivitz's third hit was a looping single to right. And Radcliffe made second on it. But he slowed down at second and then... suddenly looked over his shoulder and decided to go to third. By that time, it was too late, and he was out on a very fine throw from right field by Puccinelli, who threw to Higgins at third, getting him for the third out. So it's one run, three hits, one man left on base in the last half of the fourth inning. And the score is 3-2 in favor of the White Sox at the end of the fourth inning. The hardest working parts of your car are those chassis bearings down under. They need constant, efficient lubrication. Guard the bearings in your car with Marfac, the oily, water-resisting chassis lubricant that clings to the bearing and stays put. Any technical service station will Marfac your car. And remember, a Marfac job lasts twice as long as an ordinary grease job. Kennedy ready now to pitch to Moses to start the fourth inning. And the first pitch comes over the plate about knee-high for strike one. Byrne is winding up again. Throws and the hitter swings to foul the ball down toward first base. Kojat, first base, gets it. Looks it over. Indicates that it's pretty well missed up. And the umpire throws another ball into the game. Bart Quinn calls for that one. So Lena throws it in the stool, looks at it, and then throws it immediately out of play. Two strikes now. And there he takes the next one, takes a cut at it, but tries to stop a swing and can't. And he strikes out for the first out of the fifth inning, bringing Dean to bat. Dean up there at the plate. First pitch to Dean is a bad ball for ball one. A wide one, one ball on Dean. And there's a high one wide for ball two. So it's 2-0, two balls and no strike on Dean. Kennedy throws the next one for ball three. Well, he had all kinds of control to Moses. Now, for Dean up there, he hasn't been able to get one of three pitches over. So it's 3-0. Byrne pitches again for, well, it's called ball four, and so he gets a base on ball. Puts Dean on first base with one out of the fifth inning. And Puccinelli, the right fielder, is at bat. He's another husky fellow, right-handed hitter, however. And he swings the first pitch in a high fly out back to second base. Hayes is calling for the ball and gets it for the second out. That makes it 2 out in the fifth inning for the Athletics. Dean is still on first base, and Big Bob Johnson who braced the wind with that terrific smash and got it into the stands for a home run in the fourth inning, is up there at the plate. He really must have hit that ball. Swings the first one, hit a bounder down to Hayes, who gets it, throws the first. Johnson was going down very hard, but he was thrown out at first base with a third out. So it's no run, no hit, one man left on base in the first half of the fifth inning, and the score is still 3-2 in favor of the White Sox as they come to bat in the last half of the fifth inning with Mulehaus, their first hit. Broadcast the White Sox Philadelphia game comes to you direct from Comiskey Park, home of the White Sox in Chicago, as a presentation of your neighborhood Texaco dealer, distributor of Texaco Fire Chief Gasoline. The broadcast comes with the permission of the White Sox and the Athletics, simulated in our national game and in your own local baseball team. This is WCFL at Chicago. Rhodes is finishing his warm-up out there as Haas stands to talk to Hayes. Buell is one of the famous Philadelphia alumni that are around the league. One of several on this team. White Sox have really got a load of them again. They had Earnshaw and Simmons, but they've gone. Still have Haas, Dyke, Kane, Dietrich, Shores. Kennedy was also with the A's for a little while as a rookie. So is Radcliffe. Guess that's about all, though. I don't notice any others. Well, we're ready to go. The pitcher starts to wind up throws, and it's a strike over the inside corner about knee high. One strike on Haas. One strike on the mule. He's back up there again. Pitch winds up. Throws. And he swings to drive the ball out to right center. It's going way, way out there for a long base hit. Cuccinelli grabs for it, but it hits his foot and bounced past him. By the time he recovers it and throws it in, Haas is on second base. And it's a hit and an error. A single to right center by Haas. And he gets the second base on Cuccinelli's fumbling error. So he's on second base with nobody out in the fifth inning, and Zeke Manura is at bat. Pitcher watches second base and throws, and the hitter takes it inside across the waist for ball one. One ball called. Throws once more, and there's a strike over the heart of the plate, waist high, and the count is one ball and one strike. One and one. Throws again, and the hitter takes a wide one across the knees for ball two. The count is two balls and one strike. Two and one the count. Crowd out there in left field seats are yelling if they want a homer. Oh, got it all over. Going to get a little business from George here again. Two and one. Whoa. Zeke was all cocked ready for that one. Rhodes threw on those full of string balls, blowed up on that ball. And as he did it, Zeke got all set, but the ball sailed up past the peak of his cap. It didn't break at all, so he took it for ball three. Makes it three and one. And the hitter swings to foul this one onto the roof of the stand above and to the right of the plate. Hits three and two. Three balls and two strikes on Benora. Three and two the count. It's ready once more. Throws. And it's ball four, wide and low. And it's a base on ball for Benura. White Sox have runners on first and second, with nobody out in the fifth inning. Luke Appling is at bat. Luke Appling, the White Sox shortstop, up there at the plate. Luke might try to bunt, but they don't expect him to. The infield isn't playing for it. Oh, that hits to right as much as he does, and really hits with runners this position. No, he reaches around to bunt, hunts the ball toward third base. Higgins comes in fast, gets it, and throws it first, and Dean makes a beautiful play, reaching around behind Appling to get that ball just in the nick of time, because Higgins was playing pretty deep and just barely got him, but it took a very nice play by Dean to make it possible. So it's one out of the fifth inning for the White Sox, and now they have runners on second and third with Jackie Hayes at bat. Winds up, throws, and Hayes swings in a pop foul coming up out of the roof of the sand over our head, a little bit to the left, and he's bounded down back of it. Hit the ball, rolling it down in there, around.
Great fielding play. Great play, Whitey.
Whitey caught that ball while it was rolling down there in that slanting roof. And there's the next one inside and low for ball one. So it's one ball and one strike on Hayes. One and one to count. It's infield again. It's right in on the edge of the grass, as the White Sox infield was a little while ago. Playing to cut off any further run at the plate if possible. Again, the pitcher starts to wind up, throws. Jackie swings in a long drive to center field. Moses is waiting back there. Both runners are touching up. He catches it and they start. But Venora goes off. The throw comes to plate and the runner slides in safely, getting in just ahead of that great throw from Moses. What I mean, that was a throw. Haas coming in there has the game leg and has been favoring it, that injured leg, quite a bit. So wasn't perhaps going as fast as he sometimes has, because he couldn't. And Moses made a great throw to the plate, and Haas had to just barely slide in under it to get into the plate with the run that puts the White Sox ahead 4-2. Now Tony Pyatt is at bat. Pyatt up there at the plate. Rhodes throws the first one, and Tony takes a good strike over the heart of the plate about waist high. One strike on Pyatt. Watches back there, throws again. Pyatt takes a high one inside for ball one, and it's one ball and one strike on Pyatt. Venora's on second base, two out, one run home in the fifth inning, and the score is 4-2 in favor of the White Sox over the Athletics. Tony swings again to miss a fastball for strike two, and it's one ball and two strikes on Tony. One and two. Swings around to get the sign. He's ready. Pitches. And it's strike three. A fastball over the outside corner waist high. Pyatt let it go by without swinging at it. And it's called out on strike for the third out. Third out in the fifth inning. It's one run, one hit, one error, and one man left on base. Well, the four aces pop up, Georgie. So four aces. And the score at the end of the fifth inning, the White Sox are leading the Athletics 4-2. Now, once again, for just a moment, we return to studio.
Way to definitely settle baseball post-mortem. Technical baseball scorebook and play-by-play record. Al Totten has set up in easily understandable fashion his own system of play-by-play scoring, which he has developed over a period of years. By following these printed instructions and any additional data which he will give you over the air, you can your own records. You can then, too, Texaco has gathered together in the book lots of other interesting baseball data. Photographs of both teams, nicknames, ages, averages of the players, schedules of all major league games. In fact, the 1936 Texaco Baseball Scorebook is something you'll want to keep. Here's how you can get your copy absolutely free. Just go to any Texaco service station and ask for a request card. Then write your name and address on the card, stamp it, and put it in the mail. Remember, there's nothing to buy. Just send in your request card, and the sooner you get your book, the sooner you, too, will be able to score these games just like Hal Totten does. Now back to Comiskey Park for the continuation of the baseball broadcast, brought to you by permission of the Chicago White Sox and the Philadelphia Athletics to stimulate interest in our national game and in your own local team. Okay, Hal.
Back at the ballpark for the sixth inning, Higgins at bat for the Athletics. Count of one ball and two strikes. Kennedy throws. Higgins hits the ball out into right field for a base hit. Hayes had got a good start on the ball, but it was through too fast for him. And it's Pinky's second hit besides the walk this afternoon. But put Higgins on first base with nobody out in the sixth inning for the Athletics. And Frank Hayes, the A's catcher, is at bat. Throws one, and Frank swings, hit a long drive foul way down the right field line, far back into second deck, but it bounds out and over, back down amongst the box seat customers. And it's one strike on Hayes. Hits the next one, a terrific smash to center field. Peters comes over and ranges back to make the catch nicely. Oh, he had to be very, very quick in his judgment on that one, because that ball was hit hard. And he ranged over to his toward left or right center, and then ranged back a little and made the guess just exactly right. So it's one out in the sixth inning for the Athletics. Higgins is still on first base, and Newsom, Lamar Newsom, the shortstop at bat, takes the first pitch for a strike over the heart of the plate about waist high. Ready to pitch the first one, throws. And it's a curveball wide and low for ball one. One ball called. Then the pitcher seems ready, turns and throws the first. Runner's back there in time, though. Now he pitches and the hitter swings, hit a bounder down to Hayes, who gets it, flips it to Appling. He throws the first, and it's a double play for some reason or other. Newsom stopped up just as he was arriving at first base, and I think he could have beaten that ball, and he's kicking the dirt as he walks back out to his position, but I think he thought there were two out, and that man being forced at second made it three out. And he's very peevish as he walks back out there toward his position, because he knows he did something a little bit wrong. He might not have beaten it, but he stopped, and the play was taking so long there was a chance that he might have beaten that ball to first base. Very peculiar thing, but I think explained by that one thing, and he thought it was already two out, and that out of second base made it three. So it's no runs, one hit in the sixth inning for the Athletics. Score remains 4-2 in favor of the White Sox. Sox coming to bat in the last half of the sixth with Luke Sewell, White Sox catcher, the first man up. Finished down there. The pitcher has the ball again. Walks slowly back onto the mound. And Rhodes starts his windup. Pitches. Sewell takes the curveball inside and low for ball one. One ball called. Rhodes waits there again. Seems to have the sign. He's winding up. Throws. And the hitter swings in a high fly to right field. Right field ranging over toward the foul line easily. And he misjudged the ball. He lost it in the sun. And it drops out there for a base hit. And Sewell comes into second base. The throw bounding along and hitting him in the leg as he arrives. Puccinelli started over, jogging over, watching for the ball. And then suddenly, the last instant, the wind caught it and blew it away from him. And it landed well out of reach and inside the foul line also. For a two-base hit. Sort of a wind and sun double, you might say. Now Vern Kennedy is up there. Kennedy at bat. And he reaches out, bunts the first one toward first base. The pitcher, Rhodes, comes over, gets it, throws the ball right into the runner. But again, Dean made a nice play. Doggone, that Dean really looks awful good on those kind of plays, which we've heard many first basemen say is the toughest play that they can make. And that is the ball thrown right into the runner. And three times today and once yesterday, Dean made those plays. Now the infield comes in close again, but all but Dean playing right in close. Dean is back a little as Radcliffe steps up there. And the first pitch is wide and low for ball one. One ball called. Ready again. Throws. And the hitter hits the ball out to the left. The shortstop goes far to his right and gets it and makes the throw to first in time to get Radcliffe. Rips one. Starts driving that ball toward left field, but Newsom shifted very fast. Go back and get it and throw to first to get his man. Now with two out, the infield moves back to normal position. And Mike Krivich comes to bat with Sewell still on third base. Score 4-2 in favor of the White Sox. Watches third base and pitches, and it's a strike over the outside corner about knee high. One strike to count. Throws again, and it's a curveball wide for ball one. The count is one ball and one strike on Creed. One and one. Ready once more, throws, and Previs started the swing, stopped in time to have it called ball two, a curve wide, and so it's two balls and one strike on Previs. Two and one. Pitcher has his sign again. He throws, and Mike swings it a bounder right back at Rhodes, who leaps into the air, grabs it, throws the first, and Mike is out for the third out. And Rhodes did a nice job of pitching himself out of that inning after the wind and sun had combined to give Sewell a double at the opening of the inning, and the next man sacrificed him to third. He was still on third at the end of the inning. No runs, one hit, one man left on base in the last half of the sixth inning. And at the end of the sixth, the White Sox lead the Athletics 4-2. Now again for up-to-the-minute scores and complete batteries from other cities, we return to studio.
In the National League in New York, the Chicago Cubs lost the game to the Giants today by a score of 3-1. The Giants had 3 runs, 6 hits, and 1 error to the Cubs, 1 run, 7 hits, and 1 error. Davis and Hartnett opened for the Cubs with Henshaw hurling in the sixth and Warnke on the mound in the seventh. Hubler Mancuso went the entire route for the winning Giants. In Brooklyn, the St. Louis Cardinals are leading the Dodgers at the end of the first half of the ninth inning by a score of 7-0. Winford and Ogrodowski working for the Cards. Frank Austin-Berry's opening for the Dodgers with Phelps catching in the seventh, Clark on the mound in the ninth. In Boston, the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Bees are tied 3-3 at the end of the tenth inning. Blanton and Patton working for the Pirates to open with Brown on the mound in the fifth. Bush and Lopez, the battery for the Bees, to start with Cantwell hurling in the sixth. The first game of the doubleheader in Philadelphia between the Phils and the Cincinnati Reds was taken by the Reds 5-0. In the second game, the score is tied at the end of the first half of the fourth inning, 3-3. Hollingsworth and Campbell, the Red battery, the Phillies using Benge and Wilson. In the American League, in Cleveland, the Indians lead the Washington Senators at the end of the fourth inning, 7-6. DeShong and Millie's working for the Senators with Cascarella in the fourth. Blayholder and Pitlack, the opening battery for the Indians, Hudlin on the mound in the third, and Brown pitching in the fourth. In St. Louis, the Red Sox are leading the Browns at the end of the first inning, 1-0. The Farrells, the battery for the Red Sox, Thomas and Giuliani working for the Browns. In Detroit, the New York Yankees lead the Tigers at the end of the first of the sixth, 3-0. Broca and Dickey, the Yankee battery, the Tigers using Rowe and Hayworth. And now back to Comiskey Park and Hal Totten. Take it, Hal.
Back at the ballpark for the seventh inning. Dusty Rhodes, the pitcher, came to bat, hit the first ball pitch for a high fly into center field, which Previch got for the first out. Now with a count of 1-1 on Finney, he swings, hits a bounder down to Benora, who has to make a one-handed stop on a bad hop there, but gets the ball and runs over to first base to get Finney for the second out. And it's two outs in the second inning for the Athletics, with Moses, Wally Moses, the center fielder at bat. And he looks around, the boys out there, gets ready to pitch now to Wally, throws, and it's a fast one inside and low for ball one. One ball called.
Hey, Dorn. Dorn, the door is banging.
Kennedy throws again. The hitter hits a line drive to left field, and Radfish chasing it, but it goes over his head, bounds against the wall. Rip gets it. The runner pulls up at second base easily. Radfish throws the ball into Appling, and it's a double to the base of the left field wall by Moses, putting him on second base with two out in the seventh inning.
Yeah, I like to watch that fella run. He really goes. This is smooth and easy.
Two out in the seventh inning. Moses on second, and Dean, Sub Dean, the A's first baseman, is at bat. Kennedy looks around, gets ready to pitch the first one to Chubb. Throws, and the runner's on the go for third base and slides in and is out. He slid hard into Pyatt, who had the ball and brought it down on him, and in sliding into Tony, his foot couldn't reach third base, and he's caught stealing for the third out. So it's no runs, one hit in the seventh inning for the Athletics. Now the crowd is standing up for the seventh inning stretch.